your copy of God's Word. I'm sure you already opened up to it. If you will, take your copy and so let's stand together. And we're gonna read a few verses in 2 Timothy. And while you're turning, I'm gonna give you a few minutes. I want to give a shout out and celebrate. Today is Back to School Sunday here at Encounter Church, and we're here to honor and celebrate our educators, our teachers, anyone in the education field. If you're here and you are in the education field, thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for what you do. We're honored to have you. You are our honored guest. And so can we give our teachers and educators a warm, warm welcome? And so thankful for what you do. And but this is what the scripture says. This is the second letter that the Apostle Paul had written to his son in the Lord, as he refers to him, Timothy. And chapter 1, verse 1 says this. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I'm sure that is in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. For this reason, I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed. Say that with me. I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Let's pray together. Father, we love you and thank you for this time with you. Thank you for the amazing worship. Thank you for your presence in this place. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Before we begin, out of curiosity, do we have any social media influencers in the crowd today? If we got any social media, let me see your hand. If you're an influencer on social media, or at least think you are, Ben Amerson, he's a social media influencer. Anybody else, any social media influencer? What's so crazy is up until a couple of years ago, I never knew this title, this person, even existed. And so I did some research this week on social media influencers. And the first thing, I wanted to know what that means. And this is the definition of a social media influencer. Someone who has the power to affect the purchasing decisions of others because of his or her authority, knowledge, position, or relationship with his or her audience. And these social media influencers, they use platforms, Facebook, X, which was formerly Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube. But check this out. According to Influencer
marketing benchmark, a report that they did, says this: the influencer marketing industry will be valued at $24 billion by the end of 2024. $24 billion with a B. They've created, these influencers, these social media influencers, have created their own industry. This valued at $24 billion. Why? I'm very inquisitive. You all know that. Why? How? And look, it says that 85% of those surveyed believed in the effectiveness of influencer marketing. Now, that's just one example, a very wealthy example, if you will, of the power of influence. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, the power of influence. As we know, as Christians, the greatest social influencer to ever live was Jesus Christ. He influenced 12 ordinary men. And those men and others, let me make this injection. Pastor, why does the Bible always refer to the male, to masculinity? It's a cultural thing. And just in that culture, so it was written in a way that they communicated with one another in a way that they would understand. But anytime you hear man, that means mankind. But I'm sure that along with these 12 men, that there were women as well involved in that. But he influenced the lives of these 12 men who went on to influence the lives of others. And today, all these centuries later, there are over 2 billion Christians, professing Christians, on the planet. That doesn't count the ones who've gone on to be with the Lord. But you would say, Pastor, I don't have any influence. I'm just a blank. Well, first of all, you're so much more than just a. God doesn't create just A's. I'll never forget, my wife had her first jury duty as a young mother. We had one child, our daughter Heather. And as she was being interviewed for the jury duty, the judge would ask, okay, what is your occupation? And she said, I'm just a housewife. He stopped the whole process and said, let me tell you something, young lady. That is the greatest responsibility in our country. Don't ever say that you're just a housewife. And so I want you to know that you're not a just a. God created you on purpose for a purpose. And then the next thing I want you to know is it's a quote. You can write it down. Everybody influences somebody. Everybody, every person here, you have influence with somebody. William Temple said the most influential of all educational factors is the conversation in a child's home. Now, I want to set the scripture, the context of the scripture up that we read as we dive into the message. So I want you to roll up your sleeves. I already rolled mine up. I want you to get your word open. I want you to get pen, pencil, paper. You got it all, because we're going to dig in. We have the privilege and honor of opening in the word of God and having God speak to us. So I want you to be involved in this process. First of all, I want us to look at the relationship between Paul and Timothy, because it's a beautiful picture of the power of influence. Paul referred to Timothy as my beloved son in verse 2. Now, there was no biological connection there, but Paul had built such a relationship with Timothy, had grown to love Timothy so much that he saw him. Now, the Bible's not clear on if Paul had children or not, never says. But he saw this young man, Timothy, as his son in the Lord, my beloved son. And I would make this injection also. Dad, you have the most influence with your children. You have it. Well, but they really, it seems to be that the mother has a lot more influence than I have. Well, it's because you're allowing that to be. I would often tell my wife when our kids were teenagers, and we survived it, so if you got teenage kids, you will too. She would address an issue with them, and they would, you know, they'd make like it or push back, or but they would carry on and continue to talk to mama, and everything was hunky-dory. I could come in and say verbatim the very same thing, and it was a whole different story. They wouldn't talk to me for a week. They would get like super angry and upset. And so I went to my wife. I said, How come? We were in agreement on this issue. You dealt with it. And they were just like, okay, received it well and carried on. I addressed it the same way. And they don't even want to call me daddy. And she said, I said, why is that? And she said, because you are their daddy. You carry a lot of influence. You carry a tremendous amount of influence. The scripture in our context, Paul was very thankful of this relationship that he had with Timothy. It said that he prayed for Timothy constantly. And verse 4 said that Paul missed Timothy. He missed him. And here's what I want you to know just from that context, that Paul used his relationship with Timothy as a vehicle to influence him. Here's another quote. Influencers connect with others before they take them anywhere. They connect with others before they can take them anywhere. Listen. This quote's been attributed to all kinds of people, so I don't even know who to name with it, but you've heard it, very familiar. People don't know how much you care. They don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. That's such a true statement. So Paul knew that the relationship that he had with Timothy, and not only Timothy, but others, but we're looking at this relationship, it was the fuel for the power to influence him. Now, I don't think it's coincidence. I don't believe in coincidence. I believe that coincidences are times when God works, but he just remains anonymous. But I don't think it's a coincidence that we're celebrating and honoring our educators today. And God's given us this message. Because a teacher holds a tremendous amount of influence with their students. I can give you a list of teachers, of coaches that have still influenced my life today because of the influence they had on me as a young boy. So I would say to you, teacher, I know oftentimes you're in, depending on where you teach and what school you're at, and many times you're in enemy territory. You're making a difference. You're making a difference. So I want to talk to you about how influence gets its power. How, and we know a relationship. That's very, very important. If you're a teacher, if you're a supervisor, if you're a boss, everybody, we've got relationships with people. So that's a given. That's the foundation. But the first thing I want you to know is that with knowledge comes influence. Let that sink in. With knowledge comes influence. Let me explain. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, Paul said this to Timothy. He said, now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, and perseverance. You see, this list was not a random list that was just thrown together off the top of Paul's head. God never does anything, puts anything into the scriptures. It's just random. Everything is intentional. This list is intentional, and it was intentional that Paul began with teaching. He said, you followed my teaching. Because when you have knowledge about anything, people that are interested in the knowledge that you have, you can influence them with that knowledge. That's why I'd say that teacher, the most influence you'll have with a student and the strongest relationship that you'll have with any student will be with the student that's interested in the subject that you're teaching. And you can influence them but with your knowledge. Because Timothy, the Bible says, was influenced initially by his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois to become a Christian. You got to remember, Timothy's dad was a Greek, so he was a non-believer. So the way Timothy became a follower of Christ was through the influence of his mother and his grandmother. And see, we have the luxury of reading the scriptures and seeing this overall view. But you got to understand, the New Testament wasn't written at this point in the Bible. This stuff is taking place. But Christianity was new to everybody. Like, it was a radical belief system. And so for Timothy to be influenced to become a Christian, it got the attention of a lot of people in town. And it eventually got the attention of the Apostle Paul because his faith set him apart. Now, whether you have intellectual knowledge or whether you have athletic knowledge or mechanical or scientific knowledge, whatever particular knowledge that you have, it gives you influence with those who are like-minded. So I was training, I think I've shared this before, I was training some salesmen before I went to work full-time in the ministry, and I was training this gentleman. We were approaching this house, making this cold call, if you will, and they had a big Georgia Bulldog statue on the front porch, go dogs. And I asked the gentleman, I said, are you a Georgia Bulldog fan? He said, no, not really. I said, well, you are now. And so when we get to the door, first thing out of my mouth, I introduced myself, I introduced the partner here, and I said, man, what about them dogs? What do you think about? And all of a sudden, it just brought them in closer because I had some knowledge that they were interested in. We had some common ground. And so I was able to influence them. So if you want to be a better salesman, if you're a salesman, find out what your customers, potential customers are interested in. And find that common ground. You want to be a more effective teacher? Find out the interest that your students have and incorporate that into the teaching you have, and you will be able to have a greater influence. So here's how we use a particular knowledge for spiritual purposes. The influence that we have gained through your experiences, through your knowledge, it creates a relationship with those influenced. They're just birds of a feather flock together. If you're a big sports guy like myself, you listen to sports talk radio a lot. You follow ESPN a lot. You're gleaning. They're influencing how you process the information and your view of that, of sports. And that's just an example. But it goes across all genres. Now look, not only did Timothy follow Paul's teaching, as we learned, but in verse 10, it said that after teaching, it said that he followed his conduct. Now, Timothy was emulating Paul because he was influenced by this teaching. He built this relationship, and now he began to emulate him. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, Paul says, to be imitators of me as I imitate Christ. Let me give you a real life example. How many of you got kids? How many of your kids have gone to spend the weekend or spend a few nights with some friends and came back different? They're like, you never talked like that before you left. It's the power of influence. It's the power of influence. And so Timothy, just being around Paul, he began to talk like him. He began to act like him. He began to conduct his life like Paul. But then it goes on to say he followed his purpose. Timothy wanted to do what Paul did. Then it said he followed his faith. He saw the great faith of Paul, and it caused Timothy to want a stronger faith, a deeper faith. So he grew in his faith. And then it goes on a little bit, and it says that he followed the love. He saw the love that Paul had for him, and it reciprocated back to Paul from Timothy, and they just had this bond. All because Paul used his knowledge of the scriptures, he used his faith, he used his experiences in his faith journey to influence this young man named Timothy. And now we've got two letters, in the Bible, as a result of this influence. Jesus said in Matthew 28:20, the Great Commission, he says, go and make disciples. He's telling us to go and make disciples. And then look what he says, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. Here's what Jesus is saying. He says, take what I've taught you and go and teach it to other people who are interested. Now, this might kind of rattle you a little bit. It shouldn't, because I'll back it up with some scripture. If you're sharing your faith, if you're entering into a spiritual conversation and the individual knows where you're going with this and they say, I'm not interested, stop. Don't waste your time. The Bible says don't throw your pearls to swines. Now, it also says, Jesus told the disciples when they went in to these communities, these towns and villages to share the gospel, he says, you go find a house that receives you, and there you stay there. Don't go house to house. There's another message there about going from one church to the next church to the other church, you know, church hopping. We don't do that. We got to stay house to house. He said, but if you go to a house and they don't receive you and receive your teaching, he says, shake the dust off your feet and move on. There's people out there that are interested in what you have to share in your faith. And so God will lead you to them. They will lead you, or he will lead them to you. But bottom line, you influence people who are interested. Now, mom, dad, are you influencing your children for Christ? That's where it starts. It starts at home. If you're a business owner, are you influencing your employees for Christ? Coach, got some coaches in the house. How about your players? Do they know where you stand? And I get it. Teachers, your students, I get it. You're kind of handcuffed. But God, you can still influence them, and God will make sure they get the message without getting yourself in trouble. But I'm just asking, are you using the influence that God has given you? Because everyone has knowledge gained from experience that can be used to make a connection to influence
other people for Christ, because with knowledge comes influence. Secondly, with influence comes responsibility. 2 Timothy 1:6 and 8, "For this reason I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God." You see, Paul understood how he had influenced Timothy. He also understood that with that influence, that he had a responsibility. He had a responsibility to continue what he started. As Christians, we have a responsibility to use our influence to bring God glory and honor. God has planted you, sir, ma'am, wherever you are in your life's journey, where home, work, school, hobbies, where he has planted you there to be an influence to those around you and to bring him glory and honor. And I would say this to you parents again. You are responsible for influencing your children. We get that, Pastor. But you're also equally responsible for who's influencing them. Who are they following on Instagram? Who are they following on YouTube, Facebook? Let me, and listen, I know I'm probably going to step on some toes, but that's all right. When you give a child a phone to occupy them, their little minds are not developed enough to manage and cipher through and deal with the information that's coming at them. You're doing a disservice. You're doing a great harm. You're setting them up to face a great danger. And so, because there's things on social media that can influence their little minds, but it's your responsibility to find out and see who is influencing your children. Every one of us, depending on how we act, will either make or mar a life. So Romans 2:21 says this, "You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You that preach, do not steal? Do you steal?" There's nothing that does more damage than hypocrisy. And so I would say what the great theologian Dirty Harry Clint Eastwood said: it takes tremendous discipline to control the influence, the power you have over other people's lives. I would say this: are you teaching by example? If so, what is that example? James 3:1-2 says, "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren." Why? "Knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment." There's a great responsibility that comes with influence, folks. And we know that with knowledge, we've got influence. And with influence, we have a responsibility. And lastly, with responsibility comes accountability. 2 Timothy 4:1, Paul told Timothy, he said, "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom." Here's what Paul was telling Timothy. Timothy, you take what you've learned from me, Use it responsibly, because one day you're going to have to give an account for it to God. You're going to have to stand before God and give an account for how you stewarded your influence. My children, again, I used to go school shopping. Speaking of school, I know many of you have done that with your children. I had three daughters and a son. And I particularly went, I didn't have to worry about my son. He dressed just like I did. He was a country boy. But my daughters now, I was intentional about going shopping with them. They hated it. They hated it. My rule was, you know, because you want to know how your children want to dress. You want to know how the world wants your children to dress. Just look at the mannequins. Just look at the mannequins. And it was very little clothing and a whole lot of skin back then, which is even worse now. They're in their 30s now. So they'd go in the dressing room, and I'm sitting out there, and they would come out, and I'd say, all right, you know the drill. Raise your hands. And they'd go. I'm like, no. When they if I saw any skin, nope. You said, Pastor, that's radical. Ask them about it today. They thank me all the time. Because here's what I told them. I said, listen, me and your mama have been married a long time. I said, I can put my arm around your mama. And you're going to have little boyfriends, I know. I can put my arm around your mama. It's all, you know. But if I put my arm around your mama and I feel some skin, that takes me to a whole nother place. I'm not going to have no hairy leg boy putting his arm around you and feeling skin. About the only skin I'm going to allow him to feel is your hand, the palm of your hand. I'm just, why are you like that, Daddy? I said, because I don't have to give an account to you. You're a gift to me. I've got to give an account to God one day for how I raised you, what I allowed you to do and see and be a part of, and what I was okay with, and those sort of things. 1 Timothy 6, 20 and 21, this is the last part of the second letter. And Paul says this to Timothy. He says, oh, Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you, avoiding worldly and empty chatter and the opposing arguments of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and thus gone astray from the faith. False teachers, people who want to lead you astray, they understand the power of influence. So he's telling Timothy, you got to guard yourself. You got to protect yourself. Don't just, listen, remember Timothy, when I said take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. God, is this okay for me to allow into my life, to allow into your temple? He said, Timothy, you got to guard what's entrusted to you. In other words, why would you have to guard something unless somebody's trying to get in and mess it up? That's what happens with Christians. God has entrusted us with the gospel. He's entrusted us with being servants and living on purpose for him. So the devil is going to try to get in and try to disrupt that. He's going to try to kill, steal, and destroy that. You got to guard yourself, because one day you'll give an account for what you allowed in. And here's what I want you to do. As I said it earlier, every person in here, you're an influencer. I'm not talking about a social media influencer. I'm talking about a much greater influencer than that. And here's what I would say. Not using the influence that God has given you is just as bad as using the influence he's given you for evil. Not using it is just as bad as using it for evil, because you're going to have to give an account. Look, Matthew 25, verses 24 and 25, and a couple
So this is the story of the master, and I'm closing. This is a story of the master who was going away for a while, and he left his servants some talents, some money. He left them gifts. He left one 5, he left one 3, he left one. And then he comes back. He comes back. This is a picture of Christ's return. And the one who also who had received the one talent came up and said, "Master, I know you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed." Verse 25, and I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. God giving you a talent of influence, every one of us. He expects you to use that talent to multiply, to influence other people, not hide it, not be afraid to use it. But verse 26 says this, "But his master answered and said to him, 'You wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed.'" Look at what verse 30 said. "Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." That's how serious God is about our stewardship of the gift of influence. And any other gift he's given us for that matter, but for today's purposes, for the gift of influence. So here's what I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen. We have the knowledge of the truth, the gospel. We have the influence of the Holy Spirit inside of us. And it's given for us to influence other people with that truth, with the gospel. We're here for two reasons, remember: to come to know Christ, to bring others to Christ. The way we bring others to Christ is through our influence. Now, we're responsible for how we use it, how we influence, whether it's for good or for evil. God has given us as a gift the power of influence. And one day, we'll stand before him and give an account for how we used it. In this last verse, I was reminded, I added it late last night. This is the verse God gave me. Matthew 5 and 13. "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, it is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." Salt has a purpose. Salt influences the taste of food. Salt influences how healthy we are. Salt influences the longevity of meats and anything that is put as a preservative. But Paul says, the scripture, Jesus said, if that salt loses its taste, if it's not serving its purpose, it's no longer good for anything. You have the power of influence, ladies and gentlemen. And just for a moment, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you just to kind of reflect. I just kind of want you to just ask God right now, wherever you are, wherever you're seated, "God, show me those in my life. Show me where I have influence. Because I know I have it. But show me where. Show me how. God, help me to be a better influencer. Help me to be a great social influencer, influencing people for Jesus. Lord, forgive me for
not using the gift of influence that you gave me, or forgive me for using the influence for wrong purposes. God, today, I commit to using the power of influence that you gave me to influence those people who are around me that I have relationship with, that I have common ground with, those people that I come in contact with moving forward. And I believe that you're going to empower me through the Holy Spirit to be more effective. Because one day, I want to give a good accounting to you for how I used the influence that you gave me. If you prayed that along with me, if you received that, and you're committing today, your eyes, the scales have fallen off and your eyes have been opened, just raise your hand and say, Pastor, I'm going to use my influence. I'm going to use the influence God gave me to multiply, to reach people for Jesus.